Ready to go.
Okay. So
2 weeks ago, we were discussing the idea of finding out the future by means of impure methods, such as divinations and witchcraft and stargazing and the magic and the like. So this week, we're going to discuss the idea of prophecy, of nevuah, which is understanding the future by means of proper methods, which not all of us are privy to. None of us are privy to at this point in history. But we have to understand the nevuah, prophecy, how it stands up in contrast. There's a lot over there. You don't really need it, though. Yeah, I mean, you could look, but I'm going to read it for one second. I'm going to read it for a minute, And we're going to discuss how prophecy, what it means, who became prophets, and what was the message that came from prophecy.
And what book is it?
So we're still in Parsha Shoftim, Sefer Devarim, Perek Yud Ches, chapter 18, and I'll go through the Torah in a second. But just to understand that there's two methods of understanding the future. There's what we call the backdoor methods that Hashem says these are not for you to use. It's manipulating the world. It's inappropriate. It's impure. Then there is the proper method, which is nevuah. We mentioned last time how everything is kind of summed up in one pasuk. The pasuk says, "Tamim tiyeh im Hashem lekecha." You should be innocent and pure with Hashem, which means that it's not our business to try to figure out the future. Our business is to take every single day, you know, what comes towards us and make the right choices, act appropriately, make the right decisions. To figure out the future is not really our job and not really beneficial to us. So when Hashem sends a prophet, though, then Hashem is telling us, "I want you to know something about the future." I mean, prophets aren't that we don't go and try to create prophets. I mean, we'll talk about how that works shortly. But prophets are Hashem sending the message directly to a person, saying, "I need you to know about this. This is significant for you to know about. This is going to improve your life. This is going to help you get back on the right path." It's very different than us taking backdoor methods to understand the future. So we have nevuah, prophecy, standing in contrast to these other magical methods. They tell the future. But it's a message that God wants us to know, tells us directly, versus messages that we're trying to smuggle away on our own. I think that's the big difference between the two. The mitzvot we're discussing today, there's four of them that relate to this. The numbers are 516 through 519. We'll go through them in a second. And these four mitzvot are all associated with prophecy. So the first of them is there is a mitzvah one must listen to a confirmed Navi. We'll talk about how you confirm a Navi, how you confirm a prophet. We'll get to that discussion soon. But if a Navi is confirmed, there is a mitzvah you must listen to him. A Navi, though, even when he's coming to tell you what he's supposed to tell you, he cannot try to add or subtract to the mitzvos. So if a Navi comes and says, "I'm a prophet from God, and now you're allowed to eat cheeseburgers." It doesn't matter how great of a tzaddik we thought he was. It doesn't matter what he's done to prove his own credentials. We don't listen to him. He cannot subtract or add to the Torah.
Is that the second of the four?
Or is this is the first. This is still part of the first one. I'm saying what you have to listen to. Right? So you have to listen to him, but only if he's telling you certain types of things. The Navi does have the power to temporarily suspend the mitzvah. If a Navi deems fit, he could temporarily say this mitzvah doesn't apply, but it can be permanent. So Navi could tell you, we're going to right now allow X or Y based on his own calculation, but it's not a permanent change of the Torah. So for instance, Eliyahu HaNavi, he brought sacrifices on Har HaKarmel, Mount Carmel, even though at that point they're only allowed to be done in the Mishkan. In the Beis HaMikdash, even so, he deemed it fit to bring a sacrifice on Har Carmel, and that was allowed for that moment. But it was only temporary, it was not permanent. So Navi, a confirmed Navi has that right, but to try to either subtract or add to the Torah is out of bounds. They can't do that. A Navi cannot command you to do Avodah Zarah, to serve idols, even temporarily. He can't say, "Well, today I deem it fit to bow down to this idol." He can't do that, even if it's temporary. If he does that, then that discredits him. Some say that you have to listen to a Navi, even if they're not relating a prophecy to you, but they're saying something of their own, but since they're confirmed as Navi, you must listen. So it can't be take you away from the Torah or add to the Torah, it can't be idolatry. But if a Navi comes and says something else, certainly if it's from God, you must listen. If he says, "I have a message from God for you," then you must listen. And many say, even if it's not a message from God, he just says his own personal guidance, advice, idea, you must listen, being that the person is a confirmed Navi. So that's a very important mitzvah. The Sefer HaChinuch explains about this. He says that if somebody reaches this level, if somebody really becomes confirmed as a Navi, again, we'll get to how you do that, but someone gets those credentials, that means the person is a rare form of a tzaddik, somebody far beyond any of us. His wisdom, his righteousness, his piety is far beyond. And therefore, even if he's telling you things that are not a message of prophecy, he knows what's best. He knows what's right because he's on that level. He understands the way of truth, and he guides you in the way of truth. So not listening to a Navi, besides being an Avera, would be a big mistake. It would be silly, because somebody who's so wise, somebody who God has deemed fit to speak with, if you ignore his word, so then you're making a personal mistake. So it's not just the fact you violated a mitzvah, but he says, it's in Hebrew, it says, it's a total mistake, v'chisaron yedias emes, and it's a lack of knowing the truth. So it'd be a very silly thing. So if it's God's word, certainly you should not ignore it. Even his own words you should also listen to if the person is a confirmed Navi. I keep saying he, but we had women, female Nevi'os as well. Yes, there she's as well. Devorah, Sarah, Imeinu, Esther, maybe we had also. Yes, but he or she. Yes, thank you for correcting me. He or she. But we definitely have female Nevi'os as well as Nevi'im, and we have a mitzvah to listen to all of them. No matter who they were, male or female. That's in the mitzvah 560. Mitzvah 517 is that it's forbidden to claim having prophecy or share a false prophecy if you're not really a prophet. Even if what you're saying is true, if God didn't tell you, you cannot say that prophecy. So let's say you overheard, Yeshaya HaNavi saying something. So you say, oh, okay. So you go over to the next town and you say, I have a prophecy from God for you. Right? God told me X. So you know it's right, because Yeshaya said it, but he didn't tell you. So if you were to relate that prophecy, you violated this mitzvah, and you're actually liable to capital punishment for that. So that's even if it's, certainly if it's incorrect, even if it's correct, you cannot relate a prophecy that wasn't said to you, and certainly can't relate a false prophecy.
Was that with Eldad and Medad?
Eldad and Medad, it doesn't seem to be false though, Eldad and Medad.
What they said wasn't false.
No, but they seem to actually have received the Nebuah from Hashem themselves.
I guess they, but they also took what they heard.
Right.
No, they got the prophecy.
But I think they received prophecy. Yes. I think they received it themselves.
Yes.
But there are cases where you had in Navi some false prophets. You do have different stories in Navi of false prophets. But false prophets could either be they're sharing something false, or they're sharing something that's true but wasn't related to them. So if they want to say that Yeshaya said this, that's fine, but to actually try to attribute the Nebuah to themselves, that is a capital crime according to the Torah. That's mitzvah number 517. Mitzvah number 5, yeah.
In 517, I understand it's forbidden to claim, my notes are messed up, forbidden to claim a false prophecy or to share a false prophecy.
To claim having prophecy that wasn't said to you or share a false prophecy. They're grouped together as one. Let's go together.
Or to share a false prophecy.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Well,
or to share a true prophecy that wasn't said to you.
Yeah,
meaning
yeah.
You're misrepresenting prophecy. That would be the summary of that. Mitzvah number 518 is a prohibition that you cannot say a prophecy in the name of an idol. So certainly that would be wrong, and we would call that false.
Who can listen to such a prophecy?
But in those days, it was very common.
If the idol is Isur Avodah Zarah altogether.
Right, that's true. But in those days, it wasn't uncommon to listen to worship the idol and listen to the idol. So somebody, again, claims a prophecy which may have been a true idea, but he attributes the idea to an idol. So that would be the prohibition of Nevuah B'Shem Avodah Zarah, and that's also a capital crime. And then mitzvah number 519 is to never hesitate in killing a false prophet. So there's a mitzvah that we go out of our... Usually when it comes to capital crimes in Torah law, we really hesitate in execution. We have a lot of reasons to get them off the hook. There are a few instances in the Torah. The Torah says, don't have any mercy. And if somebody claims false prophecy, we don't have any mercy. And at that point, the Sanhedrin has to judge them. This is not judged in a regular court. They're judged by the Sanhedrin. But you don't pull any tactics to get them off the hook. You make sure that you have no mercy upon them, and you execute them as needed. That's also an example.
Yes.
So just to read what the Torah says, we know those are the four mitzvahs. So to read how the Torah describes it, I'll just read the English. It's easier. So it says that a prophet from your midst, from your brethren like me, Moshe says, shall Hashem, your God, establish for you. To him you shall you listen. So the first thing is that Moshe says, you'll have more prophets like myself. So Moshe is grouping himself along with all the prophets. According to all that you asked of Hashem, your God, in Horeb, on the day of the congregation, saying, I can no longer hear the voice of Hashem, my God, and this great fire I can no longer see, so that I shall die. So I shall not die. We know that at Har Sinai, Hashem spoke to all the Jews. And the Jews went to Moshe and said, we can't handle prophecy. It was overwhelming for the Jews. The rabbis say that they actually died from the experience, had to be regenerated because it was so intense and so overwhelming. So they requested of Hashem, we can't all be prophets. We can't handle that experience. So let Moshe speak to us. So Moshe said, it's not just at that moment, for the future. For the future, don't think that every Jew will be a prophet. There'll be unique individuals that are capable of handling the experience, and they'll be the prophets. Hashem agreed to Moshe. They have done well in what they have said. And Hashem told Moshe, I will establish a prophet for them from among their brethren, like you. And I'll place my words in his mouth. He shall speak to them everything that I will command him. So Hashem says that there will be prophecy. This is one of the fundamentals of Judaism. We believe in prophets. And it shall be the man who will not listen to my words, he shall speak in my name, I will exact from him. So this is the prohibition we said, that if you speak in Hashem's name falsely, then Hashem will punish. But the prophet who willfully shall speak a word in my name, that which I have not commanded him to speak, or shall speak in the name of gods of others, the prophet shall die. So those are the prohibitions. Now the next part is very important. He says, when you say in your heart, well, how can we know the word that Hashem has not spoken? I mean, how are we supposed to know? Some guy comes and says, I'm a prophet from a God, and he says X, Y, or Z. So how are we supposed to determine, is he correct, is he false? So the Torah says, if the prophet will speak in the name of Hashem, and that thing will not occur and not come about, that is the word that Hashem has not spoken. With willfulness as the prophet spoken it, you should not fear him. So the idea being that if Hashem actually said it, it will come true. And we'll talk more about that idea. But the Torah says, if Hashem says it will come true, if it doesn't come true, then that prophet is false. There's no such thing as a nevuah that won't come true, unless it's said with conditions. We'll talk more about that shortly.
So if he gives a prophecy by the name of Hashem, and it doesn't take place, you need to wait for a while.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It cannot be on the same day.
We'll have to see what he puts, the time when he puts onto that prophecy.
Uh-huh. Okay.
We'll talk more about those details. But that's what the Torah says about prophets.
Okay.
So the issue with a false prophet certainly is obvious. You know, if you misrepresent God's word and then misrepresent the truth, obviously that's a negative thing. People are going to be led in a false direction. So we understand that false prophecy could be a terrible thing because you'll mislead people. But why is giving a prophecy which is correct, but it was said to somebody else, why is that so bad? Meaning, I tell you something which is 100% true, and it will happen, it was said to another prophet, but I take the credit. So I understand that it's misleading, it's devious, it's wrong, but why is that something which is considered so severe? So again, obviously, you're tricking others, you're creating some sort of a game to bring credit to yourself. But if the words are true, what am I doing that's so bad? So the problem is said, what?
I mean, everybody's going to think you're a true prophet, and then the next time...
Okay, good, very good. So as the Sefer Chinuch says, that this time what I say is going to be right. So next time, everyone's going to hold me to be somebody who's on a very, very high level. And I haven't earned that level. I'm not the cut of being a prophet. I'm not that type of person. So people will listen to other things I say, and beyond that, they'll view me as a role model. They'll say, well, he's a prophet. He must really be a righteous person, a wise person. We're going to learn from his actions, because we think he is a true, genuine tzaddik. And the truth is that he's not. So this is considered a very serious crime in the Torah, because you're putting yourself in a position where others are going to learn from you, and you're not of that level. So how can you represent yourself in that way? I mean, it's really a message to us. We have to choose our role models carefully and know that even people who say intelligent ideas aren't always people they're supposed to emulate. You know, just because it's something smart and it made sense, maybe you're not of the character they're supposed to emulate. Maybe you said a one-time thing that makes a lot of sense, but it doesn't mean that I should watch every single movie you make and learn from you. A real prophet, you should watch and learn from. We have that mitzvah. Listen to what he does or she does and understand that what they do is really representing God's will. But somebody who misrepresents prophecy and claims prophecy that was never actually said to them, they're going to mislead many, not just through their words, through their actions, and through their subsequent ideas which they share. Now, why is it no longer prophecy? We live in a world and we don't have prophets anymore. When did it end? What happened to it? Now, that's an important question. So the final prophet we had was Malachi. That's the latest book in Tanakh, like Yitzvi. That's the latest book in the Tanakh, is Malachi. He's the final prophet in Tanakh. Chazal associate Malachi with Ezra Sofer. Ezra, we know, came back to help build the second base of Mikdash. He was a Kohen Gadol, the leader of the Jews when they built the second base of Mikdash. And Chazal say that Malachi is actually Ezra. The word Malachi translates as my messenger. Malach is a messenger. So Malachi could be my messenger. It's not a proper name, but a description of who he was.
And it fits to the time of Ezra, because Haggai and Zechariah were the prophet the building of the second temple.
Correct, yeah.
So Malachi can be Ezra.
Right, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense.
Because of the time.
And the truth is, in the times of prophecy, the Gemara says there are over a million prophets. I mean, we're only aware of the ones mentioned in Tanakh. Now, in Tanakh, we have those prophecies that the Gemara says were needed for all generations. So the prophecies mentioned in Tanakh, those prophecies are the ones that we gain from to this very day. But there were, you know, the Gemara says 1.2 million prophets existed. Most of them we have no record of. We don't know what they said. We don't know who they were, because they were only needed for their own time and place.
How many?
1.2 million. It says double the amount that left Egypt. Kiflaim Yotzi Mitzrayim.
I know that in the Tanakh, they mentioned schools for Nevi'im.
Yes, we'll talk about that. Yeah, there are schools to train Nevi'im.
But
so,
not millions, I mean hundreds.
Right. So I forgot the number mentioned that we actually have in Tanakh. The Gemara says a number, I forgot, it's maybe around, I don't know, 60. There's a small number mentioned of how many prophets we know about in Tanakh. But many, many, many existed beyond that. And the difference is, the ones in Tanakh, their prophecies were needed for all generations, meaning we read those books nowadays and still gain from them. The other prophets were just needed for individual times and places and people. They weren't needed for all generations. The Nevi'im, they had messages to share for individuals sometimes, for their towns, for their people, for their generation, but what they'd said was not relevant to us. The ones that are recorded in Tanakh are relevant to us as well. And so we said Nevu ended with Malachi, who's the final Navi. And this time frame, we've mentioned before, corresponds to a major change in the world. And like we mentioned last time, what happened to all the magic, what happened to everything we mentioned last time as well, when we said that as the world became less spiritual, so overall, the world became more focused on the physical, and therefore we weren't privy to spiritual things. So just like there's no more magic, and there's no more sorcery, and there's no more Ov and Yidoni, there's also no more prophecy. On both ends, on the end of the impure, of the inappropriate, we lose the spiritual elements, and also on the end of the pure. That's the same explanation given as to why there's no longer a drive. There's no more drive anymore for idolatry. It used to be idolatry was a lust they had, and they could not hold themselves back from idolatry. As read Tanakh, you can't imagine why they were being so foolish in serving idols. And the answer was, in that time history, idolatry was a major, major draw. There was a urge in a person to serve idols. That was removed, the Gemara says, because the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, the men of the Great Assembly, they davened to Hashem to remove that urge. But at that same time in history was when prophecy also was removed, the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash. Because again, as the world sunk down to lower levels, now our challenges are more in the physical realm. So our challenges are not Avodah Zarah. Our challenges are money, challenges are lust, or those are jealousy, those are our challenges. So too, magic is no longer common and prophecy is not common. It all seems to fit together. So in the second Beis Hamikdash, there was prophecy in the very beginning, but after that, it ended. And for most of the Second Temple period, there was no prophecy. The Vilna Gaon discusses interesting thing. If we ask the question, you know, so what did a prophet do? So if you read Tanakh, it's clear. One thing they did was that they used to give Musar. They rebuked the people. You know, you're doing this wrong, and if you continue in this path, God's going to punish you. That was common. They would show Hashkacha. They would show us how Hashem runs the world. They would say these events are occurring because of these deeds. So they're able to look at an event happening in current events, and they could tell you, why did Hashem have this occur? It's something that we could use nowadays that we don't have. Sometimes you want captions. We don't understand the world sometimes. And we wish the God would send us a caption. Well, this is why it's happening. They used to have that. A Navi would come and say, you know, you see that war over there? Well, I'll tell you why it's occurring. You see that person is sick, I'll tell you why he got sick. You see this person is struggling, I'll tell you why he's struggling. They were able to tell us why things were happening, because then we could actually improve and change those issues. They would give guidance to the nation. They were able to show us what, you know, should we fight a war, should not fight a war, should we go here, should we go there, and they were able to guide us. And God was able to send through these prophets these messages that were from God to teach us how to act and guide us in the right direction. But the Vilna Gaon says something even more interesting, I think, is that this we're not so aware of this. He says that a Navi was available for individual consultation, meaning if you had a question in life, you weren't sure what to do, you weren't sure what is your purpose in life, you weren't sure on a certain decision, you know, how you should act, you could actually go to a Navi, and they would, you know, if they merited it, they can give you a message from God as to what your life is all about and where you should go in life. You want to know, should I focus myself on doing more chesed, or should I focus my energies into davening? Should I move to Israel? Should I stay in America? It wasn't a question then, but you understand the idea.
You know, like a private room,
yeah, you could really go to them. So you weren't guaranteed an answer, but if God deemed fit, He would give you an answer without a prophet, and you can find out personal information from a prophet. It was very helpful, because if you're trying to figure out what's your purpose in life, how do you fulfill your potential? If you knew what your potential was and where you should go from God, then you know what to focus on. So God could tell you, you know, I think that your greatest talent would be if you do a lot of chesed. I think it would fit you to be an accountant. So great, all set. You know, I know what to do. Nowadays, we don't have that guidance. We have to kind of figure out ourselves, which is much more difficult. But we've lost that. So Nevi'im did a lot for the Jews. They guided us, they rebuked us, they gave us captions on history, and they also gave us personal guidance. One thing a Navi cannot do, as we said before, a Navi cannot cannot make a new mitzvah. A Navi cannot determine halacha based on prophecy. Halacha is left to a beis din, to rabbis. Mitzvahs are left to the Torah itself. But a Navi has no right to say, well, God told me this is the halacha. That is also out of bounds. So the Navi can't do that. So as spirituality in the whole world diminished, so also prophecy diminished as well. The same thing we explained concerning magic and everything else. So now I want to understand, we mentioned before, you have to be a qualified, confirmed Navi. What confirms you really as a Navi? If someone just came to us nowadays, like, here I am, I'm a prophet from God, listen to me. Well, who says? And let's say the person, you know, let's say it was a great Gadol Hador who said it. Should we believe him? Should not believe him? I mean, what determines if someone's a valid Navi? So I want to learn through together the Rambam. The Rambam speaks about at length the concept of prophecy, who could be a prophet, how do you become a prophet, etc. And from the Rambam, we'll understand a lot more about prophecy. So I'm looking at it in the Hebrew. I'll translate to English. The Rambam says it's a fundamental of Judaism. To know that God communicates through Nevi'im. So that's number one. I don't know if every religion believes in prophecy, but that's considered a fundamental of Yiddishkeit, that we have prophecy. But then he says, the prophecy will only rest upon a person who is a chacham gadol b'chachma, who's very wise, gibor midosav, someone who has strength in their midos, self-restraint, they can overcome their midos, they don't lose control of themselves or their temper, you know, their midos are totally in line. The person cannot have the Yetzer Hara overpower them. They're able to have self-control. Rather, this person has a very strong mind and can control his own urges and lusts. He's a baldea, rechava. He's a very, very wide mind. Nechon admon. It's very, very appropriate. It's very, very fit. You know, very, very much. A person is filled with all these good midos. He is complete in his body. He's a healthy person. He's able to delve into the depths of Torah, and he continues in this path for a long time. Meaning, it can't be a person just achieved, you know, great spiritual accomplishment, suddenly, poof, he's a Navi. It means he lives a lifetime, he or she lives a lifetime like this, and continues on these matters for a long time. This person has a very, very sharp mind and understands, and becomes holier and holier, and separates from the material world and the ways of the nation, that get caught up in the darkness of the physical, and they go and they push themselves to constantly grow spiritually, And they teach themselves not to have any thoughts that are inappropriate or that are wasteful, that are mundane. So someone who's really sanctified themselves beyond this world. He continues, the person is totally focused always on trying to connect more and more to God, but to bind themselves to God's throne, to understand God even better, and to understand the holy, pure ways, and they look at God's wisdom in the Torah, they understand everything about the world, and they know the greatness of it. So that's a lot. So all of that, he says, it's a very high level. And as miyad, immediately, Ruach HaKodesh rests on the person. So Ruach HaKodesh is not prophecy. Ruach HaKodesh means, even nowadays, you can have Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh we translate as the divine spirit. Somebody of a high spiritual level, we understand that Hashem will communicate through them, not in direct messages, but kind of in a more subtle way. Meaning that when we go and ask a big tzaddik, a great gadol, a question, so we understand that God uses this person as a tool to communicate. So what they say instinctually is in line with God's will. That's not prophecy, that's called Ruach HaKodesh. It's a certain instinct of Torah which a person has, which will be in line with what God wants. But he says, as a person gets Ruach HaKodesh, the Rambam says, his soul will get bound up in the world of the spiritual, and the person changes, and he understands even more and more about the world, more than he ever imagined, and he even elevates himself even more beyond other people, and becomes a different person. So that's the description of a Navi. In common culture, you might see in a movie or in a book, you have this prophet who looks like he's total scatterbrained, and he's long hair, and he's a little bit wild, and that's not a Navi. A Navi was somebody who was a tzaddik of the highest form, intelligent. What? One of those sorts of people.
Who's Charles?
Right.
Maybe, yeah. It's Moses.
Moses, right?
Played Moshe.
But a Navi is the highest caliber of what a Jew is supposed to be. Somebody who lived a life of holiness, of separation from this world, a focus on God, spirituality, mitzvos. And that's someone who's of the cut that could be a Navi. And he says that there's many levels of Naviim. It can come in different levels, just like wisdom comes in different levels. So you have people who are wise, people who are wiser. Even Nevuah, God might communicate to a person, but there's also levels of intensity, how much, how clear. So Nevuah is something which has its, there's a spectrum of Nevi'im, is what the Rambam says. But he says that, and we'll talk more about this, Moshe is different. What I'm saying right now is not about Moshe. I'm talking about other Nevi'im. Moshe has his own special discussion. But other Nevi'im, when they would receive a prophecy from God, so they would see it in a vision or in a dream. It wouldn't be like a direct conversation with God. It would be they get some sort of vision or dream which overtook them. And it even says that when a Navi received Nevuah, they would collapse to the ground. It was an overwhelming experience. Their body might shake, the Rambam says. Their senses will get totally confused, and their mind just comes. They get into some sort of seizure or trance, and just the mind's focused on God, but the body could be trembling. And he quotes some sources for this.
Bil'am nofel ugloi enayim.
Nofel, right, nofel. Right, nofel, correct. He says, for Avraham Avinu, hine emach hasheicha gadola nofelus alav. There was this great fear that overcame Avraham. It says, "Badaniel lo atzarti koch." I had no strength as I received the prophecy. And the prophets, they would collect. It says in Sefer Shmuel that, as you mentioned, there were schools training the Nevi'im. People who were of this caliber, they would train them in terms of great midos and great spiritual levels. And when they got Nevuah, they would start shaking. They would start convulsing. It was an experience which we can't even picture. But it's because they were overwhelmed with something out of this world, and their bodies can handle it. What God spoke to a Navi. So he would give them a vision, and then along the vision came the explanation. So it would be like a mashal, and then it would be an explanation of the mashal, the nimshal. So it would come in two parts. Similar, Yaakov saw a vision of the ladder, with the angels on the ladder, and he was told it's a mashal for the different kingdoms that will rise and fall and attack Klal Yisrael. And he brings other sources as well. We know that Yirmiyah saw a boiling pot, and he was told this pot is about Yerushalayim, about to be destroyed, etc. And the Nevi'im were given these visions, and then with the vision came the interpretation of the vision. So sometimes the Nevi would just get the vision, and sometimes just interpretation. So it wasn't always both. We'll see the difference in Moshe. It wasn't something clear, it was something more of like metaphoric, which they would receive. No Navi could have prophecy whenever he wanted to. It would have to be that they would focus their minds, they would be in a good mood, they would contemplate, they'd be in solitude, and then maybe or maybe not it would happen. They couldn't demand prophecy from God. So no Navi could just pick up the phone, 100 God, hey, what do you think? That was impossible. And you had to be in a good mood. The Gemara says that Ein Shechina Sharon Mitol Simcha. If a Navi was sad, depressed, down, lazy, he would not achieve Nevuah. He had to have Simcha. Therefore, you had these schools of Nevi'im, and they would constantly play music. The Navi says, and when they wanted to have Nevuah, they'd have to set up the atmosphere, the setting, so they would be in a very good mood, in a focused mood, in a good mood, so they could actually receive the prophecy.
You know that Yirmiyahu was always in a bad mood.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
But he still prophesies all the time.
Right, that's an interesting question. You know, but Yirmiyahu HaNavi, he saw so much destruction. But
he was always depressed.
Very good mood either.
Right. I mean, it could be the moments where, I mean, Simcha is not always dancing happy. Maybe Simcha is a feeling of fulfillment or content. It's a good point. It's a very good point. But people would think they reached the level of Nevuah, and they wouldn't be worthy. I mean, God would just say, no, I'm not giving Nevuah today. There was no guarantees ever for Nevuah. So this is all other prophets. However, Moshe was different. This is very important. Now, Moshe is called the Av L'Chol Nevi'im, he's the father of all prophets, and Moshe's prophecies are on a totally different level. And the Rambam says, how is Moshe different than other prophets? So all the prophets receive prophecy in a dream or in a vision, and Moshe would receive prophecy awake and alert, like speaking to another human being, kevyachol. It would just be a conversation with God. Moshe could call 1-800-GOD and just talk. It wasn't a problem. Other prophets, the vision came maybe through angels or other means. It was called Aspakar Sheinamir. It was unclear. It was kind of obscured, the vision. And Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Pe'al Pe'adabarba. Hashem spoke to him mouth to mouth, directly. It was a direct communication. Other prophets, they saw visions. Moshe had direct words with God. I mean, the difference is the Torah itself. The difference between Torah and Navi. The Torah was dictated to Moshe word for word. God said, write this down. Moshe wrote it down. Navi was God's visions, God's metaphors, God's message, but in the words of the prophets. God didn't give the Nevi'im words to say. He just gave them messages to say. Moshe was told word for word, this is what the Torah should be. Moshe did not get visions and metaphors. He got words. He got clear messages, 100% clear. All the prophets, when they received prophecy, they would shake, they would convulse, they would drop to the ground. It's too overwhelming. With Moshe, it was regular conversation. As it says, Kasher Dabar Ish El Reyu. Hashem spoke to Moshe like a man to his friend. That's what the Torah says. Now, when we speak to other people, we don't get overwhelmed and shake and fall to the ground. We just have normal, casual conversations. That was Moshe. And Moshe also could have prophecy whenever he wanted to. Moshe could just ask God a question, and God would answer. We find that in the Torah itself. Moshe has asked questions about mitzvos. And he says, well, Imdu, wait a second, Veshma Matzah Yitzav Hashem Lachem, we'll hear what Hashem says. And he says, hold on a second, hey Hashem, what do you think? Oh, right. And that was it. That's what Moshe could, no one else could do that in history. Moshe was on a totally different plane. And the reason for this, I think, is fairly simple. Moshe had to give us the Torah. And if the Torah had any doubt that there was a single word, anything ambiguous or unclear, or that was Moshe's word and not Hashem's word, so that ruins the entire Torah. Because the Torah gives us halacha. The Torah gives the mitzvos. So if I think, well, Moshe put in his own words, I'll say, well, that word, I think Moshe maybe mixed up. You know, the word that says, like, don't steal, he meant, you should steal. You know, he messed it up. There was a miscommunication there. You know, over there where it says, don't eat crab cakes, well, I think he meant eat crab cakes. But Moshe mixed that one up. So it has to be that Moshe gets everything 100% clear, no question about it. It's not Moshe's or Hashem's words. It's word for word. There's no questions. And that was Moshe's level. So that's the difference between Moshe and other prophets. That's very important always to understand. And which is why, you know, we have the story in the Torah that Miriam and Aaron, they spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe left his wife. And Hashem, the whole description of Moshe's prophecy is in that story. And Moshe did leave his wife. But what Hashem told Aaron and Miriam was that you're prophets and he's a prophet too. But you have to understand, Moshe is totally different than you. And even though other prophets live within this world, Moshe was kind of out of this world. So Moshe could no longer live a life, a regular married life. Moshe had to kind of separate himself out to remain pure and connected to God at all times. That's why he left his wife. That's that description. Other prophets could remain normally married people and have normal physical lives. Moshe was on a whole different level. That was Moshe. So the next part of the Rambam, he says that, so why we believe in, so getting back to the question, how do you confirm a prophet? How do you know who is a prophet? Why do you believe a prophet? So this is very important. The only prophet that we know 100% from God was valid was Moshe. Why? Because we all stood at Har Sinai, and Torah says that we saw God speak to Moshe. We actually heard God speaking to Moshe. So we had zero questions in our minds that Moshe is a valid prophet. That was because we saw with our own eyes. We stood there and we heard God speak to Moshe. And the Rambam says that what did we hear God tell Moshe? We heard God tell Moshe. I can't find it right now, but he told him, you know, go and tell the people these messages. I mean, we heard God appoint. Oh, here it is. He says, Moshe, Moshe. We heard God say to Moshe, 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 leich emor lehen kach. Go tell the Jews this and that. So we heard Hashem appoint Moshe as this messenger. We heard that. So that's Moshe is verified 100%. Now what comes after that? You know, we never heard God speak to Yirmiyah or Yeshaya or Shmuel. We never heard that. Aaron or Miriam, we never heard it ourselves. So why would we trust any other prophets? So that's based on the way the Torah describes it. The Torah says, Moshe tells us in the Torah, we know Moshe is 100% confirmed. And Moshe says, if anybody else rises up and proves himself, then you must listen to him. So when you listen to another prophet, you're not listening to that person based on their own credentials. You're listening to them based on the fact that Moshe said, listen to them. So Rambam says, maybe they fooled you, right? Again, it would be hard to fool a person in this manner. Maybe they fooled us. But Moshe said, listen, so you listen. Because we know Moshe is right, and there's a mitzvah Torah to listen to the prophet that's confirmed. So when I'm not believing in the credentials of Yeshaya or Yirmiyah, I'm believing in Moshe vouching on their behalf. That's what I'm believing in. So what do they have to do? So the Rambam says, Moshe, we don't believe Moshe because of the miracles he did, because miracles are not 100%. You know, people can perform miracles other ways, people can do magic, people can do sleight of hand and fool you. Miracles don't prove anything. Rather, the miracles that Moshe did, he did them because he needed to. You know, we needed some man, we had to cross the sea, and we needed the 10 plagues, and we needed to have water. So Moshe did miracles to help us. But that's not why we believe Moshe. We believe Moshe because we heard God tell Moshe, we saw him enter into the thickness of the clouds in Har Sinai, and we heard God speak to him. So that's why we believe Moshe. So then after that, the Torah says, well, I'm going to send you other prophets. You should trust them as well. So anybody that's sent, Moshe tells us, if you can confirm that person, you should believe them. So what do you do to confirm them? Let me just find that line in here. I can't find it right now. But basically what you do to confirm another prophet is that, it says in here somewhere, what you do is that he's supposed to predict something and it occurs. And if he could do that a few times, and it always occurs, so then the Torah says, believe this person. So it's very important. It's only if the person is of the caliber we described. Meaning if some regular, everyday, mediocre person came over and said, and made some predictions, and they're correct. We don't call him a Navi. We say, maybe he's privy to something that we don't know about. Maybe God told him something. I don't know, but I don't believe a person who's not of that caliber. Because Moshe says, Kamoni, like me. You have to be of the caliber of Moshe Rabbeinu. You have to be somebody who's... So someone who's a recognized tzaddik, pious, wise, good midos, and then they come and they predict a few events, and they come true, that confirms them. But if some lowlife predicts events, or somebody who's just not cut out to be a prophet, we know this person and that's not the reputation they have in the community. You know, they're fine, maybe they're a nice person, but they're not, you know, over head and shoulders beyond us in their piety and their wisdom. So even if they predict things, we don't believe that. That's not up to us. That's because it has to be somebody who's of the caliber of being a Navi. Just trying to find the line of the Rambam, one second. Oh, here it is. Okay, I found it. I'm sorry. Here it is. So it says a prophet, make a prophecy just for himself. So people might have been prophets just because Hashem wanted to reach out to them. It would expand their minds. It would make them wiser. And that happened. People would be prophets for themselves. So there, I don't have to believe or not believe them, because that's for themselves. But sometimes Hashem sends a prophet to tell us something. We're supposed to listen to them. So what do we do? So it says, "Kishmishalchan osal nosal osim ofis." So when Hashem sends this person, he'll give him a sign, so people will know that they should trust this person. But not everybody who does makes a sign should be believed. Rather, every person that we know from the start is fit for being a prophet in their wisdom and in their actions, and they're beyond us in their holiness and in their precious and separation from this world. And then they come and they make some sort of sign and say that God sent them. So then we believe them. The person could do a sign and not be a prophet, because maybe signs can be done different ways. So that's what the Rambam says. So the fact that others might claim this person did a miracle in front of my eyes doesn't make him a prophet. If the person was not of the caliber to be a prophet, doesn't make him a prophet. The person is telling us to do a avodah zarah, that's not a prophet. You know, it has to be somebody who's of the caliber and can make a miracle or a sign. So the Rambam says, I was saying predicting this, Rambam also seems to imply even a miracle would be enough if the person is of that caliber. He has to predict it in advance, though. If you don't predict it in advance, that's not something which is going to impress us as much as being predicted in advance then happening. So that's what the Rambam says. We have people out there that may fool us then. This is not a foolproof system. Maybe somebody will fool us in this matter. The Rambam says it doesn't matter, because we rely upon the Torah, and the Torah says, listen, so if you listen, you're doing the right thing. So that's the system of being a prophet. So the I guess to sum it up, prophecy is a fundamental of Judaism. It's the way Hashem communicates to the world. Moshe's prophecy was a different level because Moshe had to give us the Torah, and the Torah contains in it halacha and mitzvos and the foundations of Judaism. That has to be 100% accurate and word for word, no questions asked. Other prophets, they had the role not of giving us halacha or mitzvos, but to guide us, rebuke us, help us, give us captions on history. So they received visions from God, they received messages from God, they related to us in their own words. They were on a level where they couldn't just go and talk to God whenever they wanted to. They would be overwhelmed by the prophecy, and it would overtake them, but they passed on the message to us. We believe them because we know Moshe is accurate, we know Moshe is correct, and Moshe said believe them. So we believe them because Moshe said so, not because of what they do. Miracles are not going to prove anything to us. And I think for two reasons. Number one, people can falsify miracles. Miracles can be done in many ways. We spoke about magic a few weeks ago. That was also something the Torah recognizes as true. And furthermore, who says a miracle means I can tell you what to do? Let's say I were to come in the room and I were to start floating around these books. Right? I can levitate in the air. So that means I have pretty cool powers. But why does that mean I can then give you instructions? Meaning like, okay, so now everybody, because of that, I want you to stop eating cholent. Cholent's not treif. I mean, what's the connection between the two? I mean, it shows maybe you should be scared of me because I can do interesting things, but it doesn't mean I'm a messenger from God to relay messages. It's only because God said, if they make a sign for you, then you should listen. That's why we listen, because God told Moshe that. So we're listening to God when that happens. Moshe's prophecy was a totally different world. But overall, prophecy is a foundation of Judaism. So unfortunately, we don't have prophecy anymore. So for us, we are kind of left in the dark, because we're not privy to this information, which is so helpful in life to know where we're going, who we are, what to improve, what to work on, how to solve the problems of the world. But there is a phrase which the Gemara says is so important to us, and that phrase is Chacham Adif Minavi. A wise person is better than a Navi. Why? Because a Navi is limited. A Navi can only tell you what God says to say. And God will give you some messages and will hold back some messages. Somebody who's wise, they have the tools to delve into any situation and tell us what they feel God would say in the situation. Meaning, if you go to somebody who is a Talmud Chacham, so their knowledge of Torah allows them to say that even though I didn't receive any prophecy, I'm pretty sure that God would say X in the situation. If you go to a prophet, they're limited. Either God told them something or didn't tell them something. So even though we don't have Nevi'im nowadays, we do have Chacham, we have wise people to go to. And it's always important to realize, even though Nevuah is wonderful because its direct message is clear and this is exactly God's word, but a Chacham has the ability to see into places that Navi cannot see. And we still have the advantage of Chachamim, even though we don't have the advantage of Nevi'im anymore. So we should at least take advantage of that for now. And God willing, you know, it seems to be in times of Mashiach, Nevuah will come back once again. And we will be privy to Nevuah in the future, Mitzvah.